Welcome to Energy Unleashed.
Hello there, everyone. It is Suzanne Worthley back with my co-host, Kim Hess. Hey, Kim. We are back for another episode of Energy Unleashed. This is where we take a look at some of my client sessions as an energy practitioner. I have people come to me each and every day, every week, and I find the common themes that I see as a practitioner. And this usually indicates what's happening on a bigger scope worldwide. And it's always super fun to kind of unleash these or bring more depth to these conversations. And that's where we bring Kim in. So I would like to start out a little bit in the concept of this isn't one particular client. So we're probably going to bring Kim in quicker and really kind of dissect this down. I find a lot of times people come to me in their healing sessions with kind of confusion and disconnect with prayer. And a lot of people are, you know, growing out of their so-called childhood dogmatic box of prayer. So I'm going to start this video out, and I know that Kim has this same disclaimer. This is not to show you how to pray. This is not to be your truth. If you have a different form of prayer from your upbringing and you're comfortable with that, great. This is for information only. This is our opinion, our conversation. This is not in any way to make fun of a dogmatic kind of style of prayer or a belief system. So take what resonates, toss the rest, right, Kim? I mean, that's kind of what we say.
Absolutely.
Yeah, especially when it comes to this. Mm-hmm. And this is a great subject matter for us to talk about with Kim, because we're going to get into it a little bit later in the session here. In terms of Kim is actually really quite profound at channeling and doing prayer. She is integral in my Vibe Tribe membership, which is my online community. And you can check that out on my website at sworthley.com at any time. And we encourage you to come on board as an online member, where you get monthly information. And every month it's a different theme. And every month of that theme, Kim actually writes a specific and particular prayer. And they have been quite profound. And we're going to get into how she does that in a little bit. But I would like to sort of start out with the concept of I grew up Catholic, as did Kim, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, you're your typical Catholic. And a lot of people, when they get to our age, are finding, and actually quite younger in my database or in my client group, are quite younger, are kind of like, not tossing out completely their Catholicism, but really opening up their brain and their heart to this concept of what is God? You know, what is God? And I am not here to tell you what your God package is. But when we're talking today, the God package is basically a design intelligence. It is a profound, infinite design intelligence that does not have an actual body. And so this is difficult because people, when they pray, and in fact, how I grew up was you pray to that guy. You pray to that guy on the cloud with the long robe and the book. And that's kind of what I want to unleash today, that this is really important to look differently at that guy on the cloud with the book, because a lot of times I find these clients in my office feeling inferior in prayer. And this message today, hopefully, is to empower you in prayer instead of making a separation of source with that God. Mm-hmm. And I think, Kim, you probably grew up the same thing with the guy on the cloud, right? I mean,
well, actually, I'm sitting here as you're saying that, I'm like, you know what? I had a more of a connection with Jesus.
Okay.
And God, because yeah. I always thought God didn't, well, I was like, okay, there's a God and everything's so big. Like, but I never connected with that guy in the cloud as much as I connected with Jesus.
Okay.
Because I think his message came more from love and, you know, some of those places that I felt more comfortable.
I think a lot of people do that. And I think that's why a lot of current religions and more straight up Christianity and open are talking about Jesus so much more. And yet for me as a practitioner, again, I see Jesus as a fractalization of the God source also. Right. So I'm going to just tip down here and I just want to show everybody I dressed appropriately for this.
That's so cute.
What
did healing what? Jesus do?
Oh my God. I wore this out one day to a shopping place with my daughter that was very actually run by very Christian people. And the woman at the register looked me up and down, and I just thought, oh well, each to each his own, right?
Yeah.
I
mean,
not making fun of prayer.
So funny. I love it. Like when I just have some... my hands, I'm like, oh, that's so funny.
You gotta have some humor on this, right? I want to start out with what prayer technically is. When we look up prayer, it is what they call an invocation or an act that seeks to activate a rapport with an object of worship through deliberate communication. This is straight off of like Wiki. In the narrow sense, the term refers to an act of supplication or intercession directed towards a deity or a defined ancestor. So then, good old me, I'm like, wow, that's some seriously big words. And I wanted to kind of like be prepared for this in terms of, you know, what am I saying? What is supplication? So I went further, and supplication is a form of prayer wherein one party humbly or earnestly asks another party to provide something either for the party who is doing the supplicating or on behalf of someone else. So basically it is doing that on behalf of thing. And then the intercession part, this is the part where I had to read it a couple of times, because intercession is the action of intervening on behalf of another. This is where I get my shackles up as an energy practitioner sometimes. So I had to really read that a couple times and sit with it and be open to it instead of my, you know, immediate judgmental self, which we humans all are. Way back when I was starting this work, my mother, I will never forget this. My mother, Suzanne, so-and-so has cancer and I want you to pray for her to get better. And I remember flipping my head around and looking right at my mom and going, no. And she's like, what do you mean no? And I said, I will not pray for her to get better. And my mom was so taken aback, you know, this is quite a while ago. And she was so taken aback, and mine was an immediate reaction. And I said, Mom, I said, there's no way I have the right to pray for someone to get better, because we have no idea if that's her higher version of what is getting better. My version as Suzanne may have a completely different perspective, outcome, thought process, wish, et cetera, attached to that, other than what her higher self or her God source has in terms of. And this is, I think, where I got my shackles up a little bit in terms of reading this Wiki definition on intervening on behalf of another. But then I read it a little more into it. And I think what they're trying to say in this definition online is that it's an intervention to get to that God source, whether you're using angelics, ancestors, you know, the white light, ascended masters. So I kind of had to soften that a little bit and think about it. But I really wanted to bring that forward to say, we have no right to think of our version of someone getting better in terms of sickness, or they should be married, or it's really sad that they got divorced. All of these things that we pray and we get in the way of another's journey. This is one of the things that I have a really hard time with when defining typical old school prayer. Does that make sense?
It does. It does. It's hard not to want that person to be what you want them to be. That's really a difficult concept to change around in perspective, because even in church, we would pray for, you know, and they would bring up names of people that are really sick.
Yep.
And in your head, you're like, oh, we want them to get better and recover and all of those things. But instead, it was really meant to be just, you know, they're in God's hands.
Right.
And, you know, we just want them to know that we're here for support for them.
And that's a great, awesome group effort like that. And this is, and we're going to get into why prayer actually works in that regard. Mm-hmm. But I think what I want to really point out in for listeners is, be careful, if you choose, be careful that you're not being that one that is taking your own human perspective and your personality perspective on someone else's journey or outcome. Mm-hmm. Because we do this all the time. I want my son to get that job. Mm-hmm. Maybe that isn't the job your son needs to get, et cetera, et cetera. So these are really very programmed reactions to prayer. Mm-hmm. And again, when I teach anything or do work in terms of sharing, this is my opinion, but I think it's critical for us to understand, again, God is a design intelligence. This is a co-creational concept. And I know when I was younger, you know, being Catholic, it was Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. God forbid, Holy Ghost, right? I mean, it wasn't even Holy Spirit when we were little. I'm showing my age.
It was always weird to say ghost, you know?
Like, yeah, it's like so weird, right? But the Holy Spirit, that was the only one as a child that I was comfortable with, because that is, in my opinion, the one that would intercede. And I never saw it as intercede on behalf of, it was the go-between or the middleman kind of a concept for me. But as I grew into more and more energy work, I started to understand for me and my journey again, that the actual Holy Spirit is the spirit of my higher being, the spirit of my higher source, my higher self. And so at this point in time, I do feel like I intercede on behalf of my own self in terms of soul and soul essence, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, I absolutely thought that the Holy Spirit was separate from me, and that when needed, it would come through me for whatever I needed. I never thought of it as my higher self, but I'm totally connected and it's with me always.
Right.
So it was it's a different viewpoint or perspective, you know?
And again, I'm not saying mine is right, but I think what is critical for us as humans is that we know that one of our challenges coming into these incarnated bodies is that overcoming the separation of source, overcoming the separation of everything. This is the biggest DNA lesson that we come in with, is to find oneness. And now that we are so highly into the ascension process, which we're going to talk about a little bit later, it is really important for us to understand that oneness and stop separating the actual source energy from us. And I think it all begins with that. You know, we are so programmed, especially, again, I don't know anything beyond Catholic, so I'm not knocking Catholicism. Mm-hmm. I'm only talking from my own experience. But I remember being a child, and we had to go to church all the time because it was Catholic school. Mm-hmm. And I remember they would say, bow your head for God's blessing. And my little 7 and 8 and 9 year old head would go, no, I'm supposed to go this way for God's blessing. You know, and I would have all of these really visceral body reactions. And I remember the act of contrition was really difficult for me, because it would talk about fear. Everything was so fearful. We were scared. You know, we had to confess. We had to be, you know, show our horrible selves. And then we were scared that we weren't going to get into heaven. You know, I dread the loss of heaven and the pains of hell.
Well, in second grade, what do you have to be forgiven for? Like,
right? You're this little kid, like, what?
Sandwich out of their lunch, or like, what? What do you have to be like so forgiving about? That's hard.
It was really hard. And the other one to this day, and I don't do actual church much anymore, but this one, I literally would gag in my throat. Lord, I am not worthy to receive you.
Yeah.
You know, and only say the word and you shall be healed. That kind of a disconnect for me was always shame, 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 and fear and panic. And oh my God, I'm a horrible human being. And I think this is part of that patriarchal box crap that we got handed that isn't truly in alignment with what a lot of the true God source, even biblical things are saying. I think our Bible is very difficult too, because there's so much vengeance God and fear God. And again, we have to remember these are stories by humans, right? I mean, this is a story. And so I think when we think of prayer in the old school way, and what I would like to bring forward as a new invitation is the old school way was very fear-based. Mm-hmm. I mean, people will start praying like hell if somebody's sick or something's wrong, or I need this and I need that and I need and I need, but God forbid, no pun there, that we like pray for gratitude, just pray to be alive, just pray on a daily basis. So our invitation here, I guess, in this conversation, at least from my end, is to really understand that this is an alignment with your higher version of yourself, your higher co-creator self with the source energy. And it doesn't and shouldn't have to be fear-based. In fact, in my opinion, it should be gratitude-based, love-based, right?
Oh, for sure. And I want to go back for a second, because when I was starting to like pick this apart a little bit and understand my beliefs, one of the things that I read was that the Christian religion, the Kabbalah, and Hindu are all based on the 7 primary chakras of the body to start with. And I'm like, what? Like, and so then man took the wording and what they wanted people to be boxed into beyond that, you know, as they went forward. So it was meant to be more simple and more organic from the start, and it became something much different, I think, than what was attended.
And again, separation. I think it's so interesting.
Yeah.
I think it's so interesting that this separation of the kinds of religious boxes, you know, we believe this, but we don't believe that. And I think that that, again, starts to break down the oneness here.
And I think it really sits in your heart. Big yeah. time. Right.
When
I feel like that.
When we make God a guy, mm-hmm. which I love that, by the way, he's always a guy. And then we go back to really traditional, you know, indigenous, and it's the she creator, you know, because creator, right. I mean, the creator is a she births, but whatever. There isn't really, in my opinion, a gender. But when we attach a gender, this is what is so, so, so important. And I talk to my people who are struggling with it. You know, there's so many people that are starting to question their religious beliefs and their upbringing beliefs in terms of the God source. And this is actually a great and awesome thing. You are, in my opinion, getting somewhere when you start to question. And you may indeed re-believe what you were taught, but you're doing it on your own terms. You're just not being force-fed something and saying, this is how I have to, it's that I get to, right? So, but when we make God a he, and in fact, sometimes we see this in the prayers, we see this in all kinds of descriptions, you know, he, when you pray, he listens. Mm-hmm. He will answer you. When we make it a human attribute, like a he, along comes the human attributes of, I might be able to be judged by a he. I might be able to disappoint a he. Mm-hmm. I might be able to worry a he, not show up well enough for a he. We make all of those assumptions in our humanness because we're making the God source a human of sorts when we put a personality and a gender to it. When we have it be a design intelligence with no gender and all loving, this is when personal responsibility starts to come in, because in source, there really isn't a right and a wrong. Mm-mm. This is really hard for people, because when we have a God that says something's right and wrong, mm-hmm. then we know what to do and we don't need to take that personal responsibility. When we bring it back to a source energy with no gender and absolutely everything is, it just is, it's the I am, it is the is, the responsibility falls back here. Mm-hmm. The responsibility falls back to, oh my goodness, I would never, if I was in alignment with my source, do that to another human, because this is my responsibility. I'm not being judged up here and seeing if I can get in this room when I get up there, or this room, mm-hmm. you know, the little angels in the clouds or the devils and the pitchforks. And so right. this is very difficult. And we have been so programmed. I remember, do you remember when, I don't know if this was the trip you were on in Peru with me, but we went to one of the cathedrals and up on the top was the huge painting of heaven and hell. Were you on that?
I was not on that trip. Me?
Okay, you're on a different year. Mm-hmm. 1 year in Peru, and I had my tour down there, and Kim's been to a couple. Mm-hmm. Up on the top was this unbelievably, I mean, intensive painting. And one side was hell and one side was heaven. And hell had all these little skeletons, and they had these top hats and flowers, and they were drinking and they were dancing and they looked like they were having a blast, but this was supposed to be hell. And then this side, all these people were bleeding and they were walking down this like road. And I remember there was like shards of glass and they were trying so hard to get up the hill. And I looked at my tour guide and I'm like, which one's hell? And he's like laughing. And it's that old premise of, you really have to suffer to get to heaven. You have to suffer. And this is what we do when we do things like Lent. I never will forget when we were children in Lent, you had to suffer through Lent so that you could feel more of what Jesus felt. And I never understood that. It's confusing for me even today as an adult. Why would I want to put myself through the suffering to align with that versus align with the joy and the co-creation and the ability to show up for source in a human form? What, you know?
Right, because you're contributing in that state much more to the one. If you're experiencing joy and happiness and love, and you know, you're bringing in the light versus, oh, this is so, you know, painful and hard and heavy. And
the more pain I carry on behalf of everybody in the whole world, the better I'm going to be. And now when we flip that back to the energy system of our chakra system and our auric fields, we know that this is horrible empathing on behalf of the whole, which is mm-hmm. actually detrimental to my human vehicle that is supposed to be divinely experiencing. So we have been really, in my opinion, I don't want to use the word trick, but we've kind of been bamboozled in terms of what these things are here to do.
Now, I do hear more people now, though, when they go through Lent, doing more positive things.
Yes.
Negative, which yes. I absolutely love. Like,
or acts of kindness.
Yeah, acts of kindness, or, you know, community work, or I'm going to, you know, walk and take care of my body better, or, you know, just different things that are more positive in light than negative. So
I had a grandpa when I was really young, and my grandpa always would tell us all as little kids, I'm giving up watermelon for Lent. And we'd all go, but grandpa, watermelon isn't even out at this time of the year. And he's like, yep. I thought he was cool.
Or you give up something you really hate as a kid. Nope.
And I do understand the giving up thing. That is a choice, and that can be a beautiful practice. It's not that I think that whole practice is flawed. I do understand that. It's about empathy and compassion, aligning with others, etc. I get that to an extent. I just don't think that it's supposed to be part of the way that getting to heaven is. It's a little difficult for me.
Right. Well, again, like you said before, when you're not worthy to receive that wound that sits in your body, that only compounds it when you're doing something that's more suffering, because I don't deserve the better. I don't deserve to be joyful, or I need to suffer. So all of it fits together, and you look at your chakras for that, and that can make you really sick.
It can. And we can dis-ease our body in our own sadness much more so even when we do that collective. I mean, you know, I'm going to hold the sadness of this whole entire world on behalf of blah, blah, blah. Well, good luck with that, because it really takes a hit on your heart, you know? So we're going to talk about how we can move that through the body in a little bit, but I want you to jump in here in terms of maybe tell the listeners in your journey. You have always been more prayerful than, it's not a contest, but you're more prayerful than I am in terms of how you move the energy, how you think, how you align, how you connect. And sort of maybe give us a little insight into the story of how you started to become a prayer writer and what that's done for you.
Oh boy, gosh. You know, growing up in the Catholic Church and went to Catholic schools for most of my grade school, high school. You know, again, there were parts that I just didn't really connect with very well. And one of them was reciting the same prayer over and over and over and over. And I didn't understand exactly what it meant most of the time. Like, as a child, we just had to memorize it and say it.
Yeah.
As I got older and I started paying attention to the words, it was just like, you know, I struggle with it. I know I have to do it, but it just doesn't resonate with me. It doesn't make me feel better.
Right.
So I went a long period of time where I continued down that path of just going mindlessly, reciting whatever the words were, and trying to connect. I made a connection, I think, myself with, like I said, I resonated more with Jesus because he came from more of a love-based person. I didn't really connect as well with God. But as a child, as I would be outside, I'd look up in the sky and say, there's got to be more, you know, it just has to be bigger than what it is. And so anyway, as I progressed and I started, when I basically retired, when I lost my job and the whole thing, I started really looking into, what journaling one and meditation. And as I was journaling, it progressed into, they would kind of turn into prayers. Like, I would go back and read them, and the words, I'm like, wow, that's more like a prayer or almost a poem than an actual journaling. Here's how I feel, and I'm so angry with this and whatever. It would turn into really more lovely words that could be put together. And so working with you, it was funny because all of a sudden we're both like, ding, maybe you should write a prayer for the Vibe Tribe. And I'm like, wow, that's a lot of responsibility. I don't know if I can, you know, figure that out. And what I did is I made, like, similar to meditation, or when I would, you know, journal and meditation, I made more of a ceremony around writing prayer. And I would ask my higher self, angels, guides, and the archangels to come in and bring the words that the Vibe Tribe needs to hear.
That's awesome.
So, yeah. And as I started doing that, it's so amazing because I look at what the card is for the month and I read some things, but then there's certain words that will pop out. And as I'm sitting there, I'm like, all right, how do we start this? And then all of a sudden it will start to flow. It can be hard sometimes because it, you know, I get in my way mentally sometimes.
Yeah.
But the words really do come through me as a vessel, and they are words that are honestly coming from the angelic realm. I truly believe that. And so I open up with that, and then I close down with a closing in gratitude, you know, ceremony. So, and not anything major, you know, I light a candle and I like clear the room and I ask for the support in the words. And as I write the prayer, it just starts to really flow. And when I close it down, I'm just in love and light and gratitude. That, you know, as I walk through the day after doing this, you know, please give me grace and integrity.
Right. And,
it's an amazing experience because by the time you read it on your webcast, I've forgotten what the prayer is. I'm like,
right?
What was the prayer about again? I wonder how it went. And you read it and half the time I cry. I'm like,
yeah,
it's really nice. You know, it really hits me in the heart a lot when you actually read it aloud, you know, with everyone else. And I may be empathing people on the Vibe Tribe. I'm not sure, but it really does mean a lot to me, you know, to
right.
Words out there.
Thank you for explaining. And I think that that's beautiful. And they're beautiful words that come through. I think sometimes when we do channeling, we don't even know what we're necessarily mm-hmm. writing or saying until, like you said, later. And it's like, wow. So
yeah.
I want to go really jump back a minute to the, what you said, if I can, to the memorizing, that we used to have to do, yeah. You know, that was like a thing. And this is when a lot of things changed for me in terms of God, source, et cetera, was when I was still kind of going into typical church, Sunday church. And I was practicing my psychic skills at that time. And I'm going to be totally honest here. I would just like use that time to scan and see if I could see auras. I know. And I would scan the field of the congregants. I would scan the priest. I would scan everybody to see their auric fields. And what was so weird to me is the flatness when at the point of where the whole congregation was saying the same words. There's two things that happen. There's a lot of flatness, like you say, we're just kind of verbally vomiting out the words.
It's very monotone listening to the whole church right. In a monotone voice.
And the resonant energy of the vibration is like this. Now, at the very same time, what is so bizarrely different though, is at the same time it's doing this. So there's two things happening here. There's a lot of people that are just verbally reciting. And this shows me that we are just programmed again and saying the words. And we don't really own the words. We don't attach it mm-hmm. to our inner essence. And because if you're attached to your inner essence, you're going to choke in your throat at those certain things that don't align with you. Like mm-hmm. me saying, I'm not worthy. I will not say that because my whole body shuts down, right? So there's not necessarily, and this isn't judging anyone. This is just because this is what we do. We're just repetitive and we're just going to say this. So this is the negative side of it. There is also a positive side because there's a negative and a positive mm-hmm. to everything in our creation, right? And so the positive side is when we get two or more together, you know, gathered in his name, blah, blah.
Right.
What happens is resonance. Mm-hmm. So even though there isn't a connection to the actual words per se, some of the people are connecting to the words, so others will float the boat of the others kind of a thing. Mm-hmm. And because it is almost like a monotone of sorts, it will be almost like an ohm. It will be like a resonance that will then go out into the collective field. Mm-hmm. The problem I have in doing that is that it's important for us as personal responsibility to know what is my intention behind that.
Yeah.
If my intention behind that resonance in communal is that I'm thinking about, you know, my boss is a jerk and I can't wait to, you know, get in his face on Monday morning and blah, blah, blah. And I'm over here with negativity. I'm shifting that resonance, right? I'm sitting with my spouse and I can't stand him or her, or my kid is blah, blah, blah. If there's this negativity, it's making the even communal resonance janky. And I think that this is where, again, it's important for us to know, am I just kind of verbally doing the monotone thing, or am I really creating a resonance of community here that's then going into the so-called ethers up to the God source? And so I think that's where I was always in awe of that. And that's actually when I stopped going.
Oh my gosh.
Oh my God, right? That's That's when I stopped going to church, because I thought, you have got to stop just scanning people in church.
And there's totally guilt around making that move too. But at the same time, I have connected in ways that are so much more important to me.
Right.
That's for me. And I have no judgment over, you know, any of it, because I watch people, I have friends that just really thrive in that environment. And what I learned coming out of there it's not all bad. There were so many good things. And
no, right.
It's really important, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. So but it's hard, you know, because you start to connect with that and you're like, at first it's kind of like, is this the right thing to do? Because it's not what I was supposed to do. So is it the right thing to do? You know, so it took a while. It took a while to really make that connection and feel really comfortable with it.
And conversely, I had a client the other day who was really struggling with some things in life, and he's a younger man, and he found a church where he really resonates with. He loves the resonant community. He loves the verbalization of the communal prayer. And so this is all individual choices. There isn't a right or a wrong. And my encouragement as a practitioner is, own where you are at the time of your journey, because at one point you may hate going to church, and 2 months later, 2 years later, you might love it. And it depends on so many factors. There is not a right and a wrong here. But my goal in talking about prayer is to invite the concept of that this is a co-creational experience. I remember when I was really struggling and I was really losing, this is years ago when we lost everything, and I was so panicked. We were losing, I had to shut off the subscription to the TV. I had to get this done because we had no money. We were literally, you know, living on no money. And I was in my healing room screaming, "You've taken everything else from me, but you will not take my house. I have to have the house for the children. You've taken everything." And then I'm like, who am I yelling at up there? Like, who's who's on my roof that I'm saying took everything? This is the danger of making God a he again, because there's a lot of people that are angry at a source energy that's a he that took something, whether it's a son, a job, whatever. And I remember being in that actual position of screaming at the top of my lungs to the roof, "You've taken everything from me." And I sat there with myself and really humbly came back to the concept of, there's nothing up there that is taking something from me. This is me taking something out of my existence here to make room for putting something else in. And this is my job. Yeah. And so again, it isn't that we don't have the ability to ask for more support in the ethers. Now that is coming to us in a million different ways. We can tap into, you know, our ancestors, our dead relatives. We can tap into the angel realm. We can tap into the earth realm. We can tap into almost anything we choose to. We can tap into the archangels, the God source itself, Jesus for you. I mean, there's a million support systems within the system that are still very, 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 very valid in my world. Mm-hmm. And mine even goes beyond to galactic in terms of helpers. We are not doing this alone. But again, I don't see the angel on a cloud with wings helping me. I see it as an energetic embodiment that I am a shard or a fractal of. And so this is the way that I work. I'm not saying everybody else has to, but that oneness is very important to me, to understand that, yes, I can still get guidance. I can still get support and assistance and alignment, but it is still coming through whatever is in behalf of my highest version of me down here as the incarnated one.
Right. Right. I'm very similar to that, because it's over time I've evolved understanding fractals and understanding we did a session on this actually, if anyone wants to go back and look at it, around fractals. And that concept is even newer for me, although I always felt I was a part of, you know, like a fragment of. I didn't understand fractals necessarily until probably in the last year or so, when you started talking about them and other healers started talking about fractals. Mm-hmm. So, the religion part of it, or the prayer part of it, is words, like the language is primal. Like I think that the language for prayer has been, it's ancient, it's indigenous, it's all of those things. And for whatever reason, you know, it became more of a lost language.
Yes.
And I think that we felt like we had to use the package prayers to check the box. And I don't, it's so interesting to me because words are so important. You know, they're healing, they're harmful. You know, you can pick whatever you put out there, and but it has to be meaningful to your heart. And so I didn't realize that until I started journaling and these started to turn into prayers that this was coming from through me, but it was impacting the love in my heart. And anyway, I think that that journey, whoever takes that journey in prayer is, it needs to be right for you and you need to feel good, you know, with what that is. So.
And prayer words, you brought up a great, great, great point because in essence, words are vibrational frequency. Mm-hmm. It is a form of this fractalization. Again, we come from light and we come through this fractalization. And again, you made reference to it. We do have a great video, I think, on that, on how we come from source and we fractal down into this human experience. But through that fractalization, we move through the layers and densities of reality itself. And a part of that moving through goes through sound and light. Right. So therefore sound resonance, it lands here in our chakra system because we're a little microcosm of the macro. That sound resonance and what we own right here is so important because this is what then will move into matter in our own reality, moving through our chakra system. So we say so many things that we constantly either are programmed in or don't know we say, or we always said it that way, or I didn't even know that came through my own mouth, that this in and of itself is something to really examine in your spiritual journey, if you choose to, which I highly suggest you consider, right? Highly suggest, because this is where we find our sovereignty and our freedom. Mm-hmm. And I eventually come to the space and the place of knowing that I don't need anything or anyone, even a he, source, guy on a cloud, for me to be judged in terms of my truth and my communication. And so when we find our oneness, this chakra, this actual chakra in our body is the transcendence of being the dualism. This is when we transcend dualism. That's our first spiritual chakra through the heart plane. And it is the transcendence of understanding this and that. It's understanding this and that are the same thing. It's just a fractalized version of the same with a different perspective or prismatic light on it with a resonance of sound. And so this is such an important thing to be able to use our voice. And that's why prayer is so powerful. Now, we put that resonance into a collective field. This is why prayer is real and it works, because that concept of actually it even works more powerful when we say it out loud, but we can do it in our head and our heart as well. Mm-hmm. But when we collectively unify on the same intention, it goes into the collective field and it finds like, finds like, finds like, finds like, finds like, finds like. And it is so incredibly powerful. And this is why actually prayer works. Prayer works not because there's a guy that's answering something, because we deserve that. Prayer works because it's a unified resonance field that keeps multiplying on that same intention and offering an alignment if this is for the highest and best for all. Right. So it's energy, right?
It is. But think about churches. Like maybe my experience, we moved several times. So we were in different Catholic churches along the way. And in the 70s, especially, that we were living out in North Platte, Nebraska, and the Catholic church, we knew the priest, and I loved going to church because the music was so great and the people were excited to be there. And so the energy in the church, plus the sermon wasn't, you shouldn't be doing, it was, you know, God, be good to people, you know, do kind of the 70s, you know, love your neighbor and do the, you know, do the right thing and help each other out. And I enjoyed going to church. He related it to real life. And then you go back to a real traditional, everybody's quiet. Like when you walk into a church and you can hear your footsteps echo through the church because everybody's just like You know, it's like, that's not normal. This is meant to be community and feeling. So when you're talking about the vibration, the difference in a congregation, no matter what religion you are, if you are there for the right reasons and you are using that sound in a way that is creating in the one, how amazing is that? I mean, I just think that is spectacular because it's positive,
right?
It's love and light. You know, it's positive.
And like you said, the indigenous had different ways of doing that, and chanting and oming and frequency of sound could literally move matter. I mean, you could collectively move rocks or move things in a kinetic way because that sound frequency would unify and change the vibrational outcome of an actual thing that was matter. I mean, it was powerful stuff, and we have lost all of that ancient wisdom because we kind of, again, verbally vomit and puke out the same words that we were supposed to when we were seven. And I think it's very important for us to really look at those words and see what it is and empower through prayer. And I do have one prayer that I give to a lot of my customers and clients in terms of letting things go and letting people go and letting the stuff move through our existence. And it's really important for us to cut those cords of things and people also that we are praying for, because we want to give that energy back to that person. And even those people that we want out of our lives, it's beautiful to pray on behalf of them. And that's a hard thing for people. You know, I'm angry at you. You were a horrible, abusive mother, and I don't nothing to do with you, and I'm going to cut you off, is not as powerful as I am actually going to cut those energetic cords, but pray on behalf of, knowing that you're still, you know, my responsibility is to let go of your possessive hold on me. My responsibility is to release my own anger and my anxiety from you. It is my responsibility to allow you to live your life the way that you choose. And I am the one that's releasing. So we get confused on forgiveness in prayer.
I was just saying, that was what I was just thinking. I'm like, and then you throw forgiveness on top of that.
Yeah.
That release, that allows you to just let it flow through.
And people are so confused on this because they think that I'm forgiving the action or the person, and we're not. What we're forgiving is my connection to it. The invokement, the commanding is coming through this vessel to allow that I am going to see you as source sees you. I am going to see you as a spiritual being instead of the bad behavior. I don't have to let go of the bad behavior or condone it. Sorry. I don't have to condone it or appreciate it or say it's okay, but I'm going to transcend that dualism and see you also as a spiritual being that maybe you incarnated down here to have these really difficult lessons. And I was a piece of that, but I no longer will carry that burden.
Right.
I don't have to carry your lesson.
Well, and think about, so when you, for me, kind of the both sides of prayer, if you're not connecting to your higher self in a way that has, it's the words, I guess, and the thoughts, you know, that you have, that when you're connecting to your higher self in a really positive way, consistently, you feel more joy. You see the little miracles every day out in nature. You see kindness between people, and you are kind to people. You're just in a much better energetic space, where if you are not connecting to yourself, there's a disconnect. You know, this creates anxiety and depression. You're heavy. You just don't understand what your purpose is or where you need to be and what life, why are you here? You know, it's just such a different place to be. So prayer is amazing to me. The words are amazing.
I think you do it in such a great way. You hold such beauty when you talk about it and write it and be it. Most people are thinking of prayer when they're upset, they're scared, they need something. And you do the opposite. And I think that that's what's so beautiful about it. And I was talking on our Vibe Tribe last webcast for the membership that I'm venturing into working better with the angelic realm, understanding that the angel is a, again, energy field that is an intermediary. That would be the one that intercedes, if we want to use that word from the beginning of the podcast here, in terms of that is the connector between the I am presence, the infinite, to the matter and reality down here of me in this world. And so that's the, maybe you can hand the football to that individual in terms of, it's not a person. It isn't, it's an individualized body of consciousness for God. Also, that's their job. That angelic's job is to hold that space. And so I think what is so fun is to create, and I want to leave some how-tos here, create more of a relationship with either, if it's the angelic realm, the fairy realm, the earth realm, the water realm, whatever the realm is, maybe it's ascended masters, maybe it's aliens for you, whatever that realm is to create more of a relationship with it in terms of sharing your concerns, your woes, your feelings, your needs, but also sharing more so the gratitude, sharing the things that I want. This leads us back again, and this comes full circle with prayer, to the law of attraction, because the law of attraction is the reason the sound resonance works. When we put prayer out, like finds like, that is a universal law. So what we really, really want, we get. What we really don't want, we get. This doesn't only happen with our words. It happens with our minds. So be clear on what you're thinking about and how that law of attraction is working for you. So back to the angelic realm. If we are making friends with this realm or whatever realm you choose, it is important, in my opinion, to have that conversation of just like, I'm flying down the road, I'm going to the grocery store. Oh my gosh, I just want to tell you how excited I am for this beautiful sunshine. My heart is just so open. Thank you for helping me recognize how beautiful of a day this is, so that you are pouring and pouring and pouring more joy into that connective relationship, which then intercedes on behalf of the higher realm and the collective, so that we're all bringing more joy forward. Does that make sense? Do you understand?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Okay. I think that that relationship, it takes time to, like, it took time for me anyway to feel comfortable in that. While I thought I was kind of doing that, I really wasn't.
Well, because don't you feel like you're kind of going like this? This is what I remember as a kid. Hello. I was watching a Netflix show the other day, and it was a really cute, and I'm going to bring this up. It was a really cute show. It's called New Amsterdam. The show is, it's about a medical thing, but it was a really cute segment in terms of prayer. Yeah. And they had these, he thought, the doctor, the medical director thought these guys were crazy, because they're this prayer group that just sits down in his lobby and holds space and prays for things. And he thought it was silly and dumb. And all these miracles started happening in the hospital. I think I talked about this the other night. All these miracles started happening, and he's like, what is going on? What is going on? And he fought with himself, and he struggled with his logical mind that was kind of like agnostic, thinking this is ridiculous. It's just a coincidence. But as the day went on and he needed something, right, he was thinking, oh, and so he runs out to the guy and he says, I need your prayer group to do this. And he goes, that's not the way it works. You don't just get to order it like a drive-in fast food restaurant, right? And he said, find it within yourself. And so this doctor was so awesome. And this is what I think people do. The doctor went back and pondered, how do I find it within myself? Because we do, we feel like we're going somewhere out there. And so they had this darling scene where he's got these big, beautiful brown eyes, and he looks up into the sky and he goes, hello. Hello. Right? Like, hello. And I think the confusion is that we think something's gonna, you know, like magically happen, or something's gonna answer. Or when we realize we are a fractal of the God source, that we are of the God source, we're not the collective God, but we are of the God source. Oftentimes our answers come in our own voice. Our answers, our prayers, our direction, our guidance comes in our own voice. It isn't this booming thing from the clouds. And we don't trust that initially, because we think it's supposed to be different. And once you get over that hump, you will start to allow yourself, if you keep doing the work and choose to go through with the thought process of, now I can actually feel the presence. Mm-hmm. Now I'm actually being guided. Now I can actually invoke that presence. Now I can actually ask on behalf of, and it gets to be a full relationship. But I loved the hello, because it was just, you know.
Well, and a great way to wake up in the morning is to, before I even get out of bed, be grateful for the night that I had, and guide me. I'm asking, you know, angels and guides and my higher self, just guide me through the day, you know, in a graceful, grateful, high integrity way. And with that, when I don't do that, I start to feel like if I go like I'm on vacation for a week and I just am not in my habit of doing things, you start to feel like what's missing? Something's missing. Like it just doesn't feel quite the same. You know, it's really interesting how that can affect your whole mindset just starting out your day.
And it's important to remember that just because I asked for that guide me through my day doesn't mean shit's going to hit the fan. I mean, it can hit the fan and that's part of my day. Yeah. It's not all rainbows all the time. Because I'm in guidance, because I'm connected to source or using angelics, doesn't mean that life is just unicorns. It's very important for us to go, well, when shit does hit the fan, this is my opportunity to connect even deeper and say, why am I co-creating this? What is the lesson here? What am I learning? Where is the guidance going to pull me through this with ease and grace in the ultimate end? But for that moment, I might feel like crap, and that's okay too. Yeah, so
even yesterday, I was like, gosh, do I need a snack? And I heard no. And I'm like, okay, all right.
I gotta find that.
I guess I don't need a snack. But it's so funny because I've started, instead of just saying, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, or I'm going, you know, I'm trying to catch myself and ask questions. And it's so funny how you hear your voice and it's like, oh yeah, okay, all right, I guess I won't do that. Or sometimes it's like, no, I'm still doing it.
Well, and we have a mutual friend who is she is very intuitive and she uses her fingers to check things constantly, muscle checking, you know, muscle reaction, and it's her hands automatically are doing this constantly, and it makes me giggle sometimes because I'm like, you already know the answer, you don't even need to flick your fingers. So our beauty of being the God source in a divine vehicle is we do have the answers. We have the answers inside, and this is again why I invite people to know that prayer is inside and we go outside. Mm-hmm. And it's to pull that source inside. It's to pull that God source into the heart chakra so that we rely on this human vehicle, our own emotions, our own consciousness, our own inner knowing, and that we empower ourselves with the prayer versus going outward and letting somebody that's an entity or a thing bring something back to me. It's a co-creation. It's a co-relationship. Going out is fine, but going in is better. And in terms of, and better is probably relative here, but it is important for us to empower ourselves first versus just letting it go out there to the hello of where that guy was at on the TV.
Yeah, I do find I give my power away less.
Yes. Like
and because I was very empathic, it's really important for me to be mindful in certain situations. I've been working really hard to do that because I easily gave my power, my energy to everyone else because they needed it. And I didn't know that, but that's how it worked. And so walking through the day and asking questions, I find that my reactions to things that happen, my worry is so much less. Like it just, you don't worry about certain things because your faith and belief in this connection is so strong. You know, you have the support you need. And while they're not, they're definitely, it's not perfect because we're human and there are days that it's like, okay, I have to take a step back because I'm not following what I really, it's not a need, but it's a habit of asking as you go through, I think. It's listening to the mind and what comes through as you're thinking about certain thoughts and catching yourself and turning those around. And that's, again, goes back to words can be really harmful or they can be full of love.
As can thoughts. Yep.
Yeah. Yep. Right. Thoughts.
And I want to dovetail off of that for one quick second in terms of when people pray for things and I want this job. And I don't get that job. It's very important to go, well, then that job wasn't taken from you. This is the anger part of the old version of prayer. I wasn't good enough for that job. I wasn't, you know, skilled enough. They didn't like me. All of that kind of thing transitions and changes when you bring prayer inside and you start to have the revelation of, oh, that job didn't need me. I'm the one that is more in line with finding what I need and want and align to. And that job was not a fit for me. Spirit allowed that to come forward. This happens in relationship breakups. It happens in everything in our life. If something is not aligned and you're praying for it, it is from a higher perspective, not in divine timing, not in divine you know, need or want. Yes. It's not aligned, period. And if we are praying the old fashioned way of having a deity or an entity or a thing out there saying, I'm not worthy of that. We're right back to that Catholic prayer again, you know, I'm not worthy for that job. And so this flips the way that we empower our lives on a daily basis. And I think that's super cool.
It is amazing. Yeah. But again, it's being mindful. Otherwise you go through the day in a numb, more numb state and you don't realize, you know, how many times in a day you have negative thoughts or you are just not living your truth the way that you want to.
So before we end, I want to shift to a question to you. Do you feel that prayer is just meditation and meditation is prayer?
I think it's all of it. I think that my thoughts during the day are prayer-like. You know, like you said, in the car, oh my God, it's gorgeous out. Look at it. Like this morning I woke up like, oh, the sun is out, you know, and I stepped outside and I'm like, oh, it feels so good. You know, and I think that's prayerful, because you're grateful and you're thankful, you know, for nature. Meditations can definitely be depending on how you meditate. I find I have a hard time shutting my mind off. So I use words in prayer and meditation. I have quiet time, but I also use words and prayer.
Right.
I think that's very
powerful. I'm the opposite of you. I'm the one that can go out of my body for hours and go out and get information differently. And I think that they are two really different things, but yet it's all the same stuff. It's just two different mechanisms. And I think that when I go out and find that higher voice, that higher helper, that galactic, that light being, that whatever, that again is just going to another embodiment of God's source. And when I do my work as a healer, I bring in, I mean, the amount I had angels in this room yesterday for this one particular client that was just mind-boggling at the colors. It was kind of like this behind me, but my entire room was filled with it. It was fascinating. And of course, the room is dark when I'm doing the work. It was just like amazing. So these beings are everywhere, and these beings of light are just incarnated in different ways, and they show up differently for us in meditation or prayer or healings. They show up as we choose to see them. Me, because of the work I do, I oftentimes just see them in the light form and the color vibration form, which again is the chakras. And so that's where I work. And so I see them that way. But I have literally seen a full blown, more than once, angelic with the wings and the whole manifested form. So it, and the fairies as well. So we can see them in a number of ways. And there's never a consistent anything when we go through these meditative type of prayers or healing efforts. They will manifest in numerous ways. There's no right and there's no wrong. And I think it just depends on a lot of factors, actually. So
yeah, it does. Yeah. And do you feel like I believe that the veil between us as humans and the angelic world is thinning.
Oh, I don't think there's a veil.
You know, like they're just there so much more, and our connection to them is easier than it used to be.
It's instantaneous is what it is. And this this frequency has changed so much. It has gone to different resonance levels, allowing us access to these beings at a more rapid pace and instantaneous for many. And so this, again, is kind of like not a warning, but heed the thought of be careful what you're thinking about sending out to the universe because it's getting supported, right?
Wait a minute. I take it back. Wait.
What you really, really want, you're creating. What you really, really don't want, you're creating. Be very clear on that, because that is only coming faster and quicker. But yes, these veils, these access to timelines, the ability to find myself with, you know, my future knowledge or my past knowledge. These are all things that I think we can unpack in more actual podcast episodes as we go. In fact, I'm just going to say it right now because I'm going to commit online. I think that there's a part two that we will do to this in terms of how to actually get the energy out of the body with dis-ease into a prayer form, into the source form. And we will commit right here to doing that within the next week or so, because I think it's critical for us to understand these vessels want to stay clear on behalf of that entire veil business so that we can navigate easier and be available for the all. And this is an actual practice of clearing the actual chakra system and energy fields.
Right.
Yeah. So
that's super, a great super topic. I would love to do that with you. Yeah.
Cool. Did you have anything else to say on this subject? If not, I want to round down with a prayer, but you let me know anything.
Well, I think the biggest thing is just like you had just said, is that when working with the divine or the God source, your higher self, is just to, you know, be clear. And if you're not clear, ask for clarity. Because
ask questions.
Ask questions because it will come. So that's kind of the biggest thing that took me a little while to really, you know, hone in on, I guess.
I love when people go, I don't know how to connect to my guides or my angels. And I say, well, you need a relationship with them. And they're like, I don't know what that means. And so then I say, okay, so if you're going out on your first date with somebody or meeting a friend for the first time and you're out for coffee or a drink or whatever, what do? You ask them a million questions so that you can get to know them. Where'd you grow up? What do you do for work? What did you think about this? Blah, blah, blah. That's how our relationship starts, right? Well, we sit there and we think these angelic beings are just floating around up there knowing everything. And it's important for us to pour our heart out in communication, good, bad, and ugly, in terms of getting to know, you know, show me today. What can I know? What did I miss? You know, ask the questions. It's just so human of us to think that that is different than this. And it isn't. It isn't. And when we start to bring this down into more of a human kind of contribution to a relationship process, it's going to be easier.
Oh yeah.
Right.
Well, and I know that it will change for me as I keep going.
Yeah.
But the more that you do it, the more you get involved in it, the better it feels. And the less you are, you know, drugged down into some of the, you know, like I said, anxiety, depression, just heaviness of life. So
the sludge of being 3D, right? All righty. Well, I think this is super cool. I would like to invite everyone. I am going to actually read this prayer. This is not my prayer. It does not have a name on the bottom of who wrote it. I found it a long time ago that I share with some of my clients when they are having a hard time with an actual human. Now you can apply this to a job, a situation, an addiction. You can do it to anything, but this is when they are having a hard time letting a human that is toxic for their life go, and how we release ourselves with forgiveness. And I'm just going to end it down with this because I think it's a really cool opportunity to just feel what this feels like. So if you would like to, I'm literally going to read it off of a page. So if you want to just take a big cleansing breath and close your eyes, anyone that's listening, if you choose to, and just kind of get yourself settled. And if this resonates for you, great. And if it doesn't, just change the words or toss it out. So I see, recognize, and behold the Christ light, the Christos within you. I place you lovingly in the care of the Creator. I release you from my anxiety and my concern. I let go of my possessive hold on you. I am willing to free you to follow the dictates of your higher self. I am willing to free you to live your life according to your highest and best and your personal free will. I no longer try to force my ideas on you, my ways, my beliefs, or my expected actions and reactions. I lift my thought above you, above the personal level to the source level. I see you as God sees you, a spiritual being created in the full source image and endowed with qualities and abilities that make you needed and important, unique and perfect, not only to me, but to God and the larger plan. I do not bind you. I no longer believe that you do not have the understanding you need in order to meet life the way you are intended to. I bless you. I have faith in you. I behold you within my higher heart now and always. And if you want to take a big cleansing breath and maybe cut your heart chakra, you can release anybody that applied to. And if this really resonates for you, you might want to re-listen to the very end of this podcast if you choose to. because that just is a really awesome way to just let go, especially of a toxic relationship. So sometimes prayer is way easier than face-to-face.
Oh, absolutely. Right?
Absolutely. Yeah. All righty. Well, on behalf of Kim and I, if this resonates, great, guys. And if it doesn't, just toss it out or modify it. And we look forward to being back with round two of prayer that we can maybe extend on within the next weeks. And until then, cosmic hugs, everybody.
Yeah.
Thank you. Bye-bye.